Right, welcome to this meeting of the Planning Committee. The meeting is being recorded and will be made available on the Council's public website in due course. Please ensure you switch on your microphone to speak and turn it off again afterwards. I'd like to introduce the staff and councillors who will be involved in the committee meeting. You've already been introduced to Esme Spinks and Russ Manji. To my right is Cameron Gillespie, our solicitor, who will provide professional advice and guidance to the Committee on Legal Matters. And to my far right is Carolyn Forster, our planning mitigation solicitor, who will assist Mr. Gillespie. Around the table are the members of the Planning Committee who will be able to take part in the debate on the application and vote, unless otherwise noted by way of disclosure of interest. And that's the horseshoe in front of me and the lone dais. So would each councillor please introduce themselves, give me your name and board, starting with Councillor Gatting.
Good evening, Councillor Gatting, Ashford Town Ward.
Thank you. Nadia Ashford Town.
Councillor Von Merkel, Ashford Common.
Councillor Brar, Ashford North, Stand Herself.
Jim Michael Roy, Stanwell North.
Bernard Spohr, Sunbury Common.
Lawrence Nichols, Halifax, Sunbury West.
Sunbury, Halifax, Sunbury West.
Fiona Seaver, Staines.
Jenny Vincent, Staines South.
Michelle Gibson, Riverside, Devon.
Councillor Whitlett, Hayswood North, Stanwell South.
Robin Sidney, Shepparton Town.
And I'm Richard Safazi from Leyland and Shepparton Green. The Planning Committee, being a regulatory committee of the Council, must base its decisions upon the local plan and the National Planning Policy Framework and other material planning considerations. So in this regard, and in accordance with the requirements to make fair, open, balanced and objective decisions for each application, purely on its merits, free of politics and previous ideas, councillors are required to read the officer report, have regard to any update, reference, and consider the representations made by public speakers at the committee meeting, and have regard to the debate in its entirety before reaching their decision. Where public speaking is allowed, this is limited to 3 minutes for the objector and 3 minutes for the applicant, and I will invite you to speak when it's your turn. You'll be reminded when you have 30 seconds left, and in the interest of equality, you'll not be allowed to extend beyond this period. So now, turning to the main agenda, item one is apologies. Do I have any apologies for absence?
There are no apologies for absence, Chairman.
Thank you. Item 2 minutes is at the wish of the committee. I sign as a true record the minutes of the meeting held on the 5th of February 2020. Disclosures of interest. Can members please, of the committee, please declare any disclosures of interest they haven't any items on the agenda before you get to that, though. I'd just like to declare that for item 7, it's a council employee, and item 8, which is a council application. So I'm declaring on behalf of all members for those two applications for those two reasons. So then, other declarations of interest, I think Councillor Gethin.
Can I just check with the solicitor? I'm actually on the task group that deals with the Thames task group, will that have any conflict of interest with item 8?
It will be absolutely for you to decide whether there is a conflict of interest, as long as you can approach the application with an open mind and it won't impact on your judgment. taking part in the debate, it's fine.
Thank you.
Councillor Seaver.
I have received emails and communication regarding item 5 and 6. I have made no response and kept an open mind.
Thank you. Councillor Gibson.
Nothing to declare.
Councillor Gibson.
Nothing to declare, Chair.
Councillor Buzar.
Nothing to declare.
Councillor Sider.
Item 6, Chairman, I declare an interest. On bias, I know several of the objectors and I also live in Walton Lane. We leave the chamber during the debate.
Okay, thank you for that, Councillor. Can I just ask Councillor Sider whether it's a perceptual bias? Whether you feel that you can approach the application with an open mind?
I've explained that to the solicitor. I will leave the chamber.
Okay, thank you. That's what we just needed it for the public record. I've got to declare an interest, declare on item 5, where I have had correspondence on that a long time ago, when this application was first submitted, and made no comment. Moving on, item 4 has been withdrawn, so the first planning application with us tonight is item 5. Item 5 is application number 18/01143/FUL, the open field in Lake west of Nutty Lane and south of New Road, Shepperton. This proposal is for a change of use to provide a water sports leisure facility, car parking and other associated features. Matthew Clapton, could you run through the plans for us, please?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. The application site is located on the south side of the New Road and west of the Nutty Lane, which is just right here. The access you can see here is access to the site. When you go to the site, you come down here, there is an unmade car parking area here, and then leading to the actual facility itself here, and this part of the lake here is used for the inflatables. The entire site is greenbelt. Apologies, I'll try to get back to where I was. Sorry, get over here. The aerial photo just puts in a bit of context. The Queen Mary Reservoir is just here. The M3 is located just down here to the southeast. You can see again, as I mentioned before, the way you come in, this is the unmade car park, and you can see where the facility is here, including some of the inflatables out on the lake here. For clarification, this lake here and everything south of the River Ash along here is designated as a site of nature conservation importance. And here is the Ashlink Nature Reserve. You can see this bit, which is Nutty Wood, and just on the other side of the corner of the picture is the Splash Meadow. Just a few photos showing the layout of the site and what's sort of provided. This is the access. You can see there's a way out and a way in, so you can get access and egress. This is the car parking area, and you can see in the distance here the actual facility itself. This is the entrance point from the car park, and as you arrive, the first container is the sort of admin buildings, if you like, the waiver forms for the parents to give their approval for the children to use the facility, the check-in and snacks. These are the toilets and changing facilities. There's a very small shower block for those who want to shower off, having been in the water. And these are a couple of storage containers for, in this case, the wetsuits, and here for the life jackets. Just to put the site into context, in order to access the water, you have to go over a bridge over the River Ash, and this is the River Ash, and the actual lake is on the right-hand side here. And this is the covered sort of gazebo in the area that's alongside the River Ash there. Just to show a quick sort of run around of the inflatables on the water, this is where the guests will enter the water, jump onto here, climb on, and then obviously turn left or right depending upon what they want to do to enjoy the facilities. Again, furthermore, showing a bit more of the facilities as it loops around sort of half moon shape of the lake shown on the site location plan. You can see here the security barriers, which we've referred to as potentially being conditioned, as an additional condition put on there. This is basically to prevent children from straying too far from the facility out into the wider lake area. Just to show the context of the site, in another plan form, this just shows it, and you've got the car parking area here. This is the lake where the inflatables are, as I showed you, and this is the area where you have the toilets and the facilities and the check-in desks just there. Again, this is the elevations and plan form of the containers I've already shown you in photographic form. And finally, just to show again the context of the site here, and this just shows the site layout in a bit more detail. You can see here, you enter the site, and as I showed you the photos, these are the containers wrapped around the periphery of the site. We come around, go over the bridge, over the River Ash, which runs here, and then out onto the lake to use the facilities. The application is recommended for approval on a temporary 3-year basis to allow for further wildlife surveys to allow for safeguarding of the ecology and biodiversity of the locality. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you for that, Matthew. We have no speakers registered to speak against this application, so please could Emma Patterson come forward to speak for the application. And you're reminded that you only able to speak 3 minutes, and I'll give you an indication when there's 30 seconds remaining.
Good evening. My reason for speaking this evening is to assure the council and the public that our intentions for the land and the lake at New Road have the benefit of the natural environment at the very core. As the landowner, I've always felt responsible for our part of supporting nature. As noted by our planning officer, everything we have done to date has been sympathetic to our environment, and this will continue under my management. As a partner of Liquid Leisure, I can ensure that this ethos is part of everything we do. Our goal is to raise our visitors' awareness to the expanse of nature surrounding them. We support many schools and groups that have little exposure to natural environments. If we can spark interest in nature whilst taking part in a healthy activity, surely that's good for all. I've been working with Spelforms Biodiversity Officer Steve Price. Taking into consideration the officer's advice, we have already made many improvements to the natural ebb and flow of the River Ash, and the river is looking healthier than ever now. Consultations with the required bodies raise no objections, merely conditions attached to enhance the environment and to further report on to identify the species on site and how to maintain it best for them. We are currently putting into place a plan with our advisors, AA Environmental, that covers all of the aspects that are required. We intend to put into place a strategy to identify anything that we can do to improve all natural habitats, thus allowing the natural species to thrive. We also hope to strike up a good working relationship with Spelform Natural History Society. They have agreed to allow us access to records, and we will work together to continue to understand the site. During the public consultation, concerns were raised about the future damage to the, or the possible damage to the River Ash and its banks. And we've already addressed those by, as you've seen, by adding bridges so that no damage is caused to the banks at all. It leaves them completely clear for the natural state to take place. It's important to understand that the lake bank affected by these activities represents less than 10% of the total bank area around the lake. This leaves 90% of the lake untouched, and the banks and nesting areas are untouched as well, free for nature to use. Spelforn is actively increasing housing locally, and the businesses are expanding, both of which will bring families into the area. If Spelforn Borough Council support this application, our Greenbelt site can be accessed and enjoyed by everyone as never before. Ultimately, together, we will be providing a leisure activity that increases health and fitness, nestled in a natural environment, and surely that's good for everyone.
And at that point, I was going to say 30 seconds.
I'm done.
Thank you, Mr. Clapham. Are there any points you would like to clarify as a result of the comments made?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you for that. Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Right, the item is now with the committee. Can I have a proposal?
For purposes of starting debate, I suggest we move as per Section 8 of the report.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Islam?
Happy to second that, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Caffey.
No particular comments to make at the moment, but I'm happy to hear what other members of the committee have got to say first.
Thank you. Councillor Noble?
Two or three things, really. Firstly, I note that there's a toilet block and we've seen the standalone showers. There's no notification there about waste or water supply within the plans, so I'm slightly concerned where that waste goes to from the toilet facilities. That's point one. Do you want to answer that one?
Yes.
Thank you, Chairman. The application form states that the sewerage will be removed via the someone collecting it and taking it elsewhere off the site for disposal. It's not being linked up to any major sewerage or anything else like that. In terms of the water supply, I'm not aware of where the fresh water comes from, I'm afraid.
I can actually, just for clarification, as the applicant is here, I can though, this doesn't happen very often. Ms. Pattinson, the fresh water supply and the disposal of it, can you tell us how that happens?
Fresh water is supplied from Nutty Lane, at 123 Nutty Lane, there's the industrial unit. We get our water directly, we've got the meter, directly get it from there. And the toilets are self contained, so we have a tank comes in and empties them every week. So there's no possible overflow or anything like that can happen. They go for toilets.
Okay, thank you for that.
On that basis, also to do with the water supply. And I'd also suggest the electricity supply here at the moment. I don't see any green credentials within the application whatsoever. This would be prime for photovoltaic cells if there's low power usage being used, and I'd be interested to see something in the plan on that. The last point I'd like to make, I'm slightly concerned about, and I'm not sure it's a planning issue, but it does apply in terms of what's in the plan here. The distance some children will be away from the shore. Any activity on the river requires motorised safety boats. I know I've organised quite a few events, and under health and safety you have to have that. It says in here there are no motorised craft going to be used on the lake. My concern is therefore a health and safety issue that if a child gets in difficulty further out in the lake, and it describes in the plan there's quite a sheer drop of water at the edge, how that's going to be managed.
You said they can confirm there's no motorised vehicles on it, so health and safety would be done via lifeguard. So they have health and safety actually on site, and they have no issue with that.
So sorry, you're suggesting there'll be lifeguards on the furthest point on the barriers at all times, because obviously that's the distance from the shore you've got to get to, and a child can drown within seconds. As I say, I know on all river stuff, you have to have a motorised safety boat if you have people in the water.
Yeah, this is on the lake rather than the river. So the river's only about a yard and a half wide.
It's still water, Lake Chair. With all due respect, it's still people in water, Chair, wherever that water is. And that distance is quite a long distance.
Okay, and the other question you asked, if this particular application doesn't kick in any requirement for photovoltaic cells or any other form of green electricity. So therefore, as a planning authority, we can't ask for anything like that as a condition on this application.
Perhaps the applicant would like to consider it, though, with all due respect, their green agenda.
For you, Chairman, yes, in response to that, as Councillor Smith Ainsley said, the policy doesn't kick in, but the applicant has heard the comments tonight, so hopefully the applicant will take that on board in the future.
Thank you. And I'm going to just ask one more question, Mr. Patterson. I could see you indicating on the lifeguard issue.
There will always be lifeguards, more than one lifeguard on the park at all times, whenever there's anybody on the park, no matter the numbers. We also have paddle boards which are used for safety, and they're very efficient at getting places quite quickly, and they're good for rescue situations because you can get people onto the easily without any dragging them into a boat. So we use those, but we have numerous staff on the park at all times.
Thank you for that.
And then I've got the park as well.
I also believe where the red line is on that map that's in the lake, that there will be a sort of rope and buoy line around there. So if anyone got that far, they could hold on to that rope and buoy line, but it gives an indication of how far out people would be able to get, and then after that they can't get the grip.
With respect, Chair, that's fine, but if a child is knocked unconscious, that's when the issue arises, because the person's not able to support himself. And it does happen off, I've seen it happen off of paddle boards. That's the issue. It's not about themselves saving themselves, but I'm prepared to accept the comment from the applicant. I just want people to be aware that we've raised that as an issue, should anything happen in the future.
Okay, thank you for that, Councillor Noble. And Councillor Sidey, you were indicating.
And thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairman. The council's biodiversity officer responded to the consultation on the proposed development, but his response wasn't on the internet. Do we know what his response was, please?
Yeah, he requested conditions, one of which is the condition relating to the environmental monitoring over the 3-year period of the temporary approval.
Thank you for that. Well, Chairman, the Spelthorne Natural History Society, which manages the adjacent Ashlink Nature Reserve, which incidentally is the only statutory designated local nature reserve in the borough, on behalf of it, they are concerned with the proposed development that will have an adverse effect on the site. With the green belt, which is another issue, of course, I was wondering whether the 8 containers would hinder the openness of the green belt. Perhaps the officer could tell us a little bit more about that. And then the History Society were all also concerned, and so would I be, if an investigation with regard to the wildlife was done on a one-day visit and a desktop study. Because if you're going to investigate the wildlife and what have you, surely you must do that over a period of time. Certainly not one day in the desktop. I'm not an expert on this, obviously, but that's what I would have thought. I mean, well, of course, bats are going at night, but other animals and the nesting season. So I don't know what other members may have comments on that, but I must say I'm not very happy with it.
Yeah, on the first bit, the green belt and the buildings there, they will be buildings which are ancillary to a green belt activity, so therefore they're acceptable in that way, the same as a football stadium for a football pitch, as long as they're the right size for that particular activity, which is right, and they're not, as it were, permanent structures being put in place. But Mrs. Spinks, can you help with the rest?
Yes, certainly. Through you, Chairman. Both Russ Mountie and Matthew and myself have been involved in the biodiversity, because obviously it raises a lot of issues that the local society have raised. And we also had a long meeting involving both the Price, and we also engaged the county ecologist to get some detailed advice. So the survey you're referring to has been prepared. It's a phase one habitat. It's being prepared in accordance with the regulations. So that's how they would do it, and that's been checked by the senior ecologist at the Surrey County Council.
But the other thing is, Jim, I'd like the views of other members with regard to the adequacy of this investigation for the flora and fauna and the wildlife, whether they believe it would be worth deferring this application for a proper study to be carried out.
I think that might be difficult, because there is a requirement in here as well, within 3 months of the permission being granted, to do a full study, which is on page 74 of the agenda papers. So and that's for wintering birds, bird surveys, reptiles and floral surveys. So the whole lot is covered for that all to take place within 3 months of permission being approved. And then every year there's another study that's being requested. I hope that does that help. Councillor Simon, does that help? At page 74, there's in the conditions, there's a condition that says within 3 months of the commission hereby approved a scheme of ecological monitoring detailing the methods, species, habitats, and frequency of monitoring shall be carried out by local planning authority. And then it covers wintering bird survey. Normal bird survey, reptile survey, and floral survey. So there's a fair amount of work there, and that's within 3 months of the permission being given.
No, that's within 3 months of the permission being given, isn't it? Paragraph six.
Yeah. Oh. I think there's a survey being done already.
No further comments, Chairman.
Councillor Dunn, and then Councillor Seale.
As this is a retrospective planning application, I believe this facility was open last year for several months, I don't know how long, but surely the Natural History Society would have had the opportunity to have gauged from last year if there were any problems. Have they maybe commented on this?
Well, if I could reply, last year this application wasn't in situ, was it?
Well, the application got submitted to commission in August
the actual
2018. But the site has been being used since then, and this application is to basically regularise the use of the site. Was it Mrs. Spence? Oh, so March 2019. That's retaliation. Yeah. So, Aldo?
The Natural History Society had commented previously, so the letter that I referred to being late was their second letter on the application. So they had already commented on what had been done, very similar comments. And the application had also gone out to the Surrey Wildlife Trust, who had raised some concerns which were incorporated within the biodiversity officer's monitoring condition six.
So basically the conditions there are designed to ensure that that we get full report within 3 months as what's going on, and then every year a report has to be done to come to us to say what the any update in the survey in that time, which is why the permission is only for temporary permission, because we have to see the results of those surveys. Any other member wish to speak? Councillor, I heard Councillor Seaver and then Councillor Gibson.
Yes, I just wanted to inquire about the car park, which apparently will have a facility for 100 spaces. How much space is this actually going to take? It looks pretty big, and is that going to be on Greenbelt, the car park?
The entire site is on Greenbelt.
Yeah, exactly.
No hard standing is going to be done for that car park. It'll just be parked on the ground that's there, on the grass. So there's no hard standing being put down.
No, that is the use of, so my concern here is that, as well as all the facilities, as mentioned, for admin and staff work and changing rooms, etc., I mean, that is going to be on Greenbelt, albeit containers that are temporary. The use of the space, you know, there are issues of generally the residents, the local residents, you know, could this be a concern that they may have been using this area as a green space for tranquility, to, you know, to enjoy the wildlife?
It is private land, so the residents wouldn't be using that for their own purposes. It's private land. Yeah. It's basically, it's the top part marked there as a field, the red boundary.
And the car parking on there, as I say, there won't be any tarmac put down, that would just be parking. But the issue involved with the parking is that, once again, it's ancillary to a greenbelt activity. So you've got an activity in the greenbelt which is considered to be, as it were, acceptable. And then associated with that are the buildings which have to be commensurate with the size of the facility. And then associated with that is the car parking, which once again has to be commensurate with the facility that you've got in the greenbelt, because otherwise you finish up the situation where you have a greenbelt activity which people can't get to. So if there is no hard standing being put down when the cars drive off, it's just a field left behind.
So it is private land, meaning the public had no access to this at all. Okay. I suppose there is the issue of the impact on Langham and Shepperton as a whole, because they already have to endure the impact of Shepperton Studios with respect to traffic and pollution and so forth, and then surely will be increased traffic here as well. In respect
The traffic issues are taken care of with the County Council's response to the application, and the generally speaking, all I've seen from the residents of Charlton Village, which nearby, is that there have been positive responses regarding this. This county highways are the ones that come back with the comments on the whether they think that it's acceptable. And if you've gone past there, you'll have noticed that the where that exit way goes on to New Road, work has already been done there to make that wider so that you can have traffic coming in and going out at the same time, because there was another exit, which is really only an entrance, which wouldn't be suitable for an exit because it's on a corner. So, as I say, work has been done on what will be the entrance stroke exit to make it wide enough to have traffic going in both directions, to ensure that there's no queuing onto New Road and traffic trying to come in whilst traffic's trying to come out. So, and that was work which the Surrey Highways requested.
So just to really clarify that the concerns of any concerns related to traffic would be the highway safety onto New Road, hence they've done those works to make it acceptable in highway safety terms.
If I could just clarify the issue of the water body, in point 7.16, it says the proposed application does directly affect a water body that is SNCI and has been identified as relevant to network water bodies designated as a special protection area. But then further down in 7.19, it says the Surrey Wildlife Trust doesn't feel that it would have a likely significant effect on the designated features of the adjoining SPA. I was just a bit confused about that. Is there an adjoining SPA, or is this the same SPA they're talking about?
No.
Different one.
The SPA is a different category. The SPA is a higher category, it's a special protection area, which is a higher order category. The SNCI is a site of nature conservation importance. So they're all important, but that has a sort of lower designation in terms of the hierarchy of biodiversity. And the main concern over the main issue that we need to address on the SPA are the protected birds that we refer to, the gulf order. The shoveler.
There's two ducks that were of main concern, which are they're like red squirrels, and they tend to be pushed out by the Egyptian geese, and that's a natural thing that is occurring. But the idea was, if there was any, and that's one of the reasons why the condition is only for use during the summer, because it's during the winter that those particular ducks are likely to be around.
Which is for you, Chairman, which is why we put the condition on that the use has to finish on the 31st of August, because the surveys have to take place from the beginning of September through to the end of March, and we have to have 1 year of surveys is insufficient, so we'd have to have 3 years of surveys, which would be enough data for the ecologist to assess it.
Right. Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Yeah. We'll answer that now. So, okay, thank you.
Well, I hope that helps. Councillor Gibson, then Councillor Gethin.
I was just going to say, based on the amount of this particular greenbelt that's been utilised by the entity, it appears to me that these guys are going to be guardians to the wildlife that are going to be living on this site, because based on what happens to other areas, fly tipping, etc., etc. I think it's probably, in my mind, going to be a good thing that they are going to be there to keep an eye on things, albeit utilising the facility at the same time. That's the only comment I've got for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, then fly tipping, we'll get those down Nutty Lane. And Jackie Taylor's regularly trying to go down there to pick it up or get the county to pick it up. Sorry, then it was Councillor Noble, sorry, and then Councillor Geffen. Councillor Noble.
Thank you, Chair. Under, on page 71 under Equalities Act 7.5.2 and Human Rights 7.5.4, I haven't noticed anything in there particularly to do with disability. Access without any hard standing is going to be quite tricky for certainly wheelchair users. And I also wonder whether there are toilet facilities for disability and disabled, and also whether there's any training for the staff to deal with people with disabilities.
Sure. Yeah, the training we don't think is a planning matter.
I think it's about right of access, that's all. I mean, I would hope that they could and will for people with disabilities, because I think it would be a fantastic facility for schools or young adults to be able to do that. I'm just slightly concerned about the fact there is no hard standard for wheelchair use. And obviously I would hope, and I'm looking at the applicant, that some of her staff will be trained to deal with people with disabilities. I just want to check, under disability discrimination, we're not precluding people from this activity.
Yeah, I mean, this is the reasonable steps issue. So Mr. Patterson, again, are you going to make reasonable provision for people with disabilities?
As you know, around last season, we had quite a few disability people playing on the side.
Thank you, I'm happy with that reassurance from the applicant. Okay, thank you for that. Just one sec. Sorry, I was just asking Mr. Spencer, we can put an informative in the permission where it's been granted about disabled
toilets. For you, Chairman, I can't see why not. We can certainly have an informative along the discussion we just had, so that the applicant who's here tonight is aware of the members' comments.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Councillor Geffen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The two points I wanted to make, I mean, obviously this site is immediately south of that field, which abuts the highway, which is regularly used as a car boot sale every weekend. So in terms of traffic flow and volumes, I would imagine that the owners of the land are well familiar with managing that sort of issue. The only other concern I've got, which relates to the wildlife issue, is I'm assuming there are conditions for what the children, well, whoever's using this facility, as to whether they're allowed to have suntan lotion on, or whether they're supposed to wear t-shirts in the water, because obviously there's a potential build-up of suntan lotion, etc., in the water, with the numbers of people that are likely to be using it, particularly in the summer months.
I think if they all wear wetsuits,
right.
So that covers that, because that basically gets away, sorry, gets rid of all the issues of clothing being worn off-site and then on-site, as it were, so it's wetsuits are hired out.
I'm obliged, Mr. Chairman.
In terms of the, I'm just trying to find the condition, Chairman, in terms of the suntan lotion, that's not a matter that we can control by planning condition, because I think it'd be difficult to meet the six tests, it'd be difficult to enforce that sort of type of condition, but there is a condition on here relating to contamination of the water, and the need to control that. So kind of get it indirectly, sort of controlled indirectly through the proper planning way, but not directly through something which we can't control. You certainly can't enforce.
Councillor Boutin.
Thank you, Chair. I seem to rather like this application. First of all, we managed to keep the green belt as open space. Secondly, I remember, I mean, not very far from my own house, we used to have Bedford Lakes, used to have a very similar activities, water activities. Sadly, that has been closed. Since that been closed, it's deteriorating the site itself. So I think it does give for something for the residents to do. And if we can't build on our water, we've got an awful lot of water in this borough, then at least we could do some play with it, or our children could do something with it. But I think the concerns on health and safety, which lies with the service provider, a quality act, anything the service provider provides, and they would be liable for breach of it. And as an organization, we here, I think, for our residents, there are concerns about traffic. But just going by my own experience, the site not far from my house, it doesn't get used, you know, you don't get hundreds and hundreds of people using it. It's now normally you're talking about, I'm not sure how busy this site is and would be, but it's not heavily used as by a lot of people using at the same time. So I think that there is concern, but I would rather be more concerned about the car boot sale traffic, which normally people trying to get in at the same time or trying to get out at the same time blocks the main entrance. So I rather like it, for I think it serves quite a few purposes. So.
Yeah, that's the car boot sale is for a limited number of days per year, and
so living near there, the traffic does flow really well. There's occasions where there's problems, but it's usually because something has happened which has caused that problem, which was unforeseen. The question you're asking about number of people turning up, with this facility, you have to book in advance. So you get given a slot, so it means you can't get hundreds of people turning up and hoping they'll be able to use it. You have to go on the web page and book it. And this Liquid Leisure itself isn't just this site, they also have a site in Natchez. And I believe they have other sites around the around Europe. So that the organisation itself, kind of knows what it's doing. And would I presume provide advice for people like Mr. Patterson on how to run the service?
Just for you, Chairman, to clarify, the car boot sale, whilst not part of this application, obviously it's been raised a few times tonight. You're absolutely right, there is a clause in the permitted development classes which allows the holder of a market for 14 days, which doesn't need planning permission, so there is a set number of days that the owner can use that without requiring planning permission. And then thereafter, the planning permission is taken. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, no other members signalling to speak. So the motion was to approve for a temporary period, as in paragraph 8. All those in favour of that motion, please show. Those against. Thank you. So application number 18/01143/FUL, open field and Lake, west of Nutty Lane and south of New Road, Shepparton, is approved. And I